Hey there, how are you doing? I am Kristen Ann James, but you can call me CJ, and you're listening to the Shine to 5 Method with CJ. I'm your host. In this podcast, I will be having authentic conversations with amazing women who have found their shine and are walking in their purpose. Because you want to know why? They know the importance of working on their mindset. Their stories are unique and relatable, sometimes at the same time, because we are all on this journey called life. I want these conversations to serve as encouragement to each and every one of you who feels stuck, that it's time to get your head in the game and find your shine. The world is waiting. Let's get into it. Joining me today is Alora May, and she is one half. She's a co-founder of Salmon Lance. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And we're going to be talking about how women in business are shifting the economy. It's going to be a powerful conversation. But before we get into our chat, I want to give Alora a moment to shine and you tell us more about yourself, whatever you'd like us to know. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. So as you mentioned, I am Alora, the co-founder of Salmon Lance. My other founder is my sister, Veronica, and we are the owners of Salmon Lance, which is a business that has subscription boxes and gift boxes filled with consciously made items from women-owned small businesses around the world. And we're all about empowering women, lifting them up, celebrating them every single day, and having fun while we do it.
I love it. And I love seeing everything that you're doing and just how you do highlight those women in business. But my first question is, since you are in business with your sister, which is, I love my sister, but I wouldn't think of going into business with her. So how did you, the two of you, and you know, now you've come to uplifting women, it just all makes sense. And I could just imagine your dynamic really works. But how did you come to the decision of, hey, let's do this thing together?
Yeah, well, going back, we both were raised in a household that was very sustainable. Our mom, you know, would always can preserves and was the original recycler of everything. So we really grew up with a sustainable mindset. And our grandmothers taught us about empowering women. And there are two amazing, strong women, which is what we need in the company after. And our dad was an entrepreneur his entire life. So we kind of mixed our upbringing in these three ideas together. And 3 years ago, we're like, why don't we start a business to help people, you know, connect with sustainable products and empower women-owned businesses. So that was in 2018. I was in Toronto, as I still am now, and my sister Veronica was in, and still is, in Singapore. So at the time, I was in between careers, and she was working at a startup fashion company. So she quit her job, and we both just started building the business together.
Wow. Congrats. 3 years. It really feels like you've been doing this for so much longer because you really, your message is very clear. It's very powerful what you're doing. And I, like I mentioned, I love seeing yourself. So, okay. So you grew up around entrepreneurship, a passion for just sustainable materials, and you named your business. I love that you named your business after your grandmother's. So as you grew your business and you knew that the direction that you were going to take it in, once you decided that you wanted to highlight other women in business, what were the steps that you felt like you had to take to find what was the right fit for the mission and the vision of your company?
Yeah. So at the beginning, we took some time and we set out and wrote down kind of what our values are. Mm-hmm. So we know that there's some businesses out there that they'll only, let's say it's marketplace, and they'll only carry products that are fair trade, or they'll only carry products that are made by a B Corp. But we understand that as a small business, a lot of people don't have the funds or the time or the resources to create or to get those certifications. So we know we couldn't have just a blanket statement. So we sat down and wrote down the values that would make sense for us. So are the people that we support and carry their products women? What if it's a woman and man team? So we have a rule that it's 50% or more owned by a woman. And then we look at the life cycle of the products and make sure that they've thought about where their natural like resources come from that they're using to make this product. What happens at the end of the life cycle of the product? Is it a glass jar that can be recycled? Is it plastic? What does that look like? What does their packaging look like? Are all their people being paid a living wage? Not the minimum wage, not a standard, but a living wage. So we kind of set all of this. And then now whenever we start working with a new brand or a new woman-owned business, we go through this with them. And a lot of times they don't even realize that they're doing all these amazing things. They're like, oh, well, yeah. I'm making my own, pouches, sewing them with scraps of fabric because what I had on hand. And we're like, well, that's super sustainable. That's amazing. And, you know, made with love. So I'm just talking to them and having these conversations and looking and seeing their products is the way that we, you know, kind of vouch them and vet them ourselves versus asking for a blanket certification like a B Corp.
So you do your research and find the companies that you feel it fit, or do you have like an application process where a new woman in business will think, I believe I'll be a fit for your company? Or is it kind of one or the other, depending on whichever works?
It's both. So at the beginning, when we first started, I would say majority of our time was, you know, finding, sourcing, reaching out to people. And now we feel really fortunate that we have these women-owned businesses reaching out to us to see if they'd be a good fit to be in either our gift boxes or in our subscription box. So it's really fantastic when we have people reach out and excited and sending us samples. It's really great.
Right. And do you have I was always curious if you have a limited or a minimum or maximum amount of products in a box or in an order. Do you know what I mean? Or is it kind of a set type, or people can throw stuff more because like, you know, throw stuff more in there?
So to just go on the pillars of what we have or the categories of what we have, we have our curated gift boxes. So those are, you know, set and curated for all the different types. I think we have about 30 of those. We have a build a box so people can, you know, choose their own items and build a gift box. And then we have our subscription box. So that's a quarterly subscription box that you, you know, order and we pick everything that goes into it and it's delivered to your doorstep. But in terms of the number of items, we actually had an order. We work with realtors and some corporate clients as well. And I think there's like 40 items that they want in this gift box. So it's going to be huge.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I love that. And so as far as the subscription boxes and making the decision to go the direction of subscription boxes, and this the online process and just how tedious I imagine it must be, and working with someone else and trying to form a team to go behind it. When, and being that you're sisters, of course, there might be times that you might disagree on something, but how do you decide on an idea? How do you decide on this? Okay, well you probably come, you both have your own types of ideas or your own approaches to something. And then to settle on something to now say, for example, even going the direction of subscription boxes, like how did you even get to that point?
I'm laughing because you're absolutely right. It was a whole pivot relaunch. So it actually came out of the first lockdown. So when we went into the original lockdown last year during COVID, we wanted a way to bring these products to people and have them discover these new companies or these women-owned brands because they couldn't go in store shopping. They couldn't go out and, you know, it's kind of like a pick-me-up. So we call it the Empower Her box. And it's a gift for yourself. So then that way you can, you know, feel good every quarter and then also feel good about knowing that you're empowering women. So it was the pandemic that kind of shifted us and wanting us to bring these products to people. But we didn't realize at the time that we're like, oh yeah, we'll start a subscription box. It'll be great. It's a whole other company. We're like running two or three companies right now.
It'll be awesome. We love the thing. Okay.
Because there's subscription box companies that's all they do is subscription boxes. Right, and we're like, oh yeah, that'll be super easy. And we realize that it's a whole other beast, but it's great.
It's great. It's fun. It's awesome. And with the women whose products feature, you in these boxes, do you have other than of course featuring, selling their, you know, having that partnership to highlight their products or their services, do you feel like there's anything else they really get out of being a part of your subscription box or partnering with you? Like speaking of that, the empowering part, and it's knowing these are women in business, it's small businesses, women who are just doing their thing, following their passions. Like, do you feel like there's anything else that they really, based on your values and your mission and vision for your company?
Yeah, well, I'll give you a little secret. The subscription box industry, which is bad, most subscription box companies don't pay brands. They don't pay people that they feature. So they either ask for the products at cost or at a very, very discounted rate. So I know some of the small businesses that we work with have been approached by these bigger companies and have been asked basically to like donate their products just to get it in the eyes or in the hands of people. So for us, we don't agree with that. We agree for paying for products.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we approach, you know, different women or when different companies approach us, we're like, oh, and we pay for subscription box products. And like, really? And it's so horrible that this is actually a, you know, unique thing that we're doing is paying people properly for the products that are going into the box. So you'll see when a lot of subscription box companies out there will say $20 box for $300 value, someone along those lines isn't getting paid, right? You have to like actually think of the logistics that goes into that $20 box that also includes, you know, of course, the packaging, the labor that just is to ship out the box. So for us, we still have over $100 value for a $59 box, but we're not going to have a $400 value that's in the box because we're paying these people properly and fairly, which we think is the way to go, especially while supporting small businesses. These aren't giant corporations that can, you know, slash their bottom line like a Walmart, you know?
Oh, gosh. I'm starting on Walmart.
So that's something that we, I hate to say that we offer to them because it should just
be. That's very surprising. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is a huge secret because I mean, like you said, like I kind of always did wonder
how that works.
Like, how come it's like $300 worth of products and I'm only paying $29.99 for it? Like, if I was looking at something, so that is okay. That would make complete sense. All right, moving on. I won't get hung up on it. So, as far as our topic today about women in business shifting the economy, and you are clearly doing your part. By supporting these and paying them, apparently, and paying them to be a part of your subscription box. What else do you feel like women are doing right now to shift the economy, to say, hey, we are here and we deserve to be paid the amount of that for the product or service that we offer? How else are we showing up?
Yeah, we're seeing it a lot now, again, just talking about the pandemic, but the shift where a lot of people are quitting their full-time job and then pursuing their passion. So they are really into, let's say, making a certain item or passionate about, you know, we have one person that we work with who works with people in the Dominican to remove tires from landfills and then make shoes and purses out of it. So they're really passionate about that type of thing. So we see so many women taking their idea, their passion, their drive, and making change and changing the world with it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, 98% of capital funding goes to male-owned companies. So these women that are doing awesome things, they're bootstrapping it. You know, so the best way to support them is to vote with your dollars. And that's what we try to do is to empower these women that are doing awesome things that aren't getting the funding, that aren't getting the bank loans, that might be offered to someone else who has those connections or is in a different, you know, stage or circle.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, like the many women who are taking that leap or they're making that shift or they're following their passion, they're turning their this is what this is making my heart sing having this part of the conversation, but, you know, turning their passion into profit. And with you turning your passion into profit and just from the mindset, knowing that, you know, 3 years ago, what was that journey like first starting? Just for the women who are listening, who are still kind of on the fence about because you know, walking away from the corporate to really follow your passion, it's not an easy decision at all. And there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things to take into consideration. But from your perspective, what was the start like?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has obviously a different story. And some people work at their side hustle until they're making, you know, the same amount that they would in their 9-to-5. And then they decide that that's the time to quit. But I kind of did it backwards.
Right. Amen, girl.
Where I quit. you know, my six-figure fantastic job and, you know, took some time, traveled a bit, and I was going to go, you know, work again at a 9-to-5 for someone else. And then I was like, why am I doing this? I want to start something else.
Yeah.
I had done my master's. I had written business plans because, you know, that's what I do in my spare time, apparently. and I made the decision that I didn't want to job search and find another 9-to-5, but instead pursue these entrepreneurial ideas I had. And of course, it was a bit of a struggle because I quit my job, blew all my money traveling, and then decided to start a business.
Did everything backwards.
Yeah. So, I mean, don't take that as as advice, but just know that everybody's, you know, situation is different, and there's no formula to say once you're making X amount at the business that you have or the side hustle you have or you know, your small business, that's the time that you should quit your job. A lot of people successfully do both for a long time. Sometimes, you know, people are let go from different jobs without any notice, because, and we're seeing that a lot now too. So, you know, there's no, I'm not giving advice as to when that should, that shift should happen.
You know what? It's okay, because I, in my case, I was laid off and, they offered another job and I said, thank you, but no, thank you. And I traveled too and then came back. I was like, okay, well, let's get cracking. Back to reality. So, you know, don't listen to us, but that's what worked for the two of us. So do you know in your subscription boxes and with the woman you work with, do you know if many of them or a certain percentage of them are side hustling it?
Yeah, I would say it's probably 50-50. Okay. So some are side hustles, some are full time. You know, we do see a lot of people who are, you know, let's say single moms, or they're still in school and they're doing this on the side to, you know, create some extra income, which we think is fantastic. You know, supporting themselves and doing things on their own time and with their own creative resources. So it's definitely, yeah, I'd say about 50-50.
50-50. Okay. Because I really feel like, and by 2021? Okay, so by 2022, I really feel like there'll be a boom in just more people following their passion and turning their hobbies into side hustles. To we're taking over the world, basically. So by 2022, yeah, we're coming for you, world. But what other messages do you have? Or I think you kind of said there are themes that you would have for the PIU, your example, your curated boxes. And I know like what you're working on right now, kind of there's a theme and it's around, again, empowering women, empowering young women. But coming up with your ideas, do you usually take ideas from the women who are sending products and the women you partner up with? Or do you usually have something in mind and then kind of go with it to find a product that will fit?
A little bit of both. Okay. Not to do a politician answer, but so we have a small team. It's my sister and I, and then two part-time staff members, and then we have some rotating interns that we work with. So we have, you know, team calls where we strategize and we think of different ways that we can, you know, put something together. So our last gift box launch for our curated gift boxes, we call them impactful gifts for every story. So we have a gift box to celebrate someone's first period. We have a breakup box. We have you did the hard thing. So maybe they ran a marathon. Maybe they just learned how to properly boil an egg, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all about celebrating people through these different occasions versus weddings, babies, and birthdays. We still have boxes for those, but we really wanted to highlight that, you know, everybody's different now. We're not just, you know, getting married, having a white picket fence, and, you know, popping out babies. We're starting businesses. We're, you know, traveling the world. We're getting motorcycle licenses. You know, people are doing really, or women are doing really amazing things, and those should be celebrated just as much as traditional events, let's call them.
Okay. So I love how like everything that I've asked you, like, well, it's a little bit of both, but I feel like because it is, first of all, you're a co-founder and it's a sister team, and you know, there's some duality that has to happen there. So there's like, they can be this, but there can also be this. They can both work. So we celebrate women. We're highlighting women. We're taking over the world. We're shifting the economy. But still, women have a hard time celebrating themselves.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I recently had a couple episodes ago, I was talking about using your voice and how we are conditioned to, as women, most, it could be a cultural thing as well, but to play small or to know your place or do not take up too much space and what are you doing and your voice doesn't matter. Or you might be, I remember in my corporate days, just being in a room with all men. And I would look around and be like, wow, not only am I the only woman in this room, this meeting of managers, I was also the only woman, Black woman, the only woman of color in a room full of white men. So there's, of course, I had to work through that and deal with that as well. So women, are we're not celebrating ourselves. Through your mission, Salmon Lance mission, mm-hmm. What is the one thing you want women to remember that they should be doing for themselves? As they celebrate. But like,
celebrate?
I'm making you pick something. What do you want them to just, what do you like, just to, if you want to order a box for yourself and celebrate yourself, then absolutely do that.
But we have know that you're important. Know that your words are important. Know that your milestones are important. And know that you're worthy. It's not just about that you didn't hit a different milestone that a friend did, or that your life doesn't look like someone else's. Your wins and your voice and your thoughts, your passion, your you know, dreams are all worthy and important. And just know that, yeah.
Yeah. And what would you say? What do you have? What does Salmon Lance have coming up for us as we get deeper into the fall?
Fall. So we do have our Fall Empower Her subscription box, which is going to start shipping in the beginning of October, and then holiday boxes. So we actually just released all our holiday boxes this week, and they're really fun, and of course have some great products in them. So
yeah, and great that women that we should check.
Empower women.
Yes. And you know what? Everyone listening, please follow Salmon Lance, because I discover so many amazing businesses just from following you on social media and just knowing. And then what I love about what you do is you really highlight these women mm-hmm. and their businesses and what they're doing and what they're doing through their products and the message that they want to convey, and really sharing it. So like, you're sharing your platform with these women. So kudos to you and what you're doing. Before I let you go, do you have a nugget that mm-hmm. you want to leave our listeners with? Do you have some words, something that resonates with you?
I would say talk about what you're doing. For so long, it was probably a year of starting and running the business, that I had friends, like really close friends, best friends, that I finally told them what I was doing. They're like, wait, what? You have a business? I was just, oh, it's not ready. I don't have enough sales. I don't have enough Instagram followers to share it. Well, that's how you get sales. That's how you get followers.
Talk about that.
Talking
yeah.
about it with yeah. your network. And I was just holding off so until it was perfect, until it was, I'm using air quotes here for everybody mm-hmm. listening. Mm-hmm. and also too, when you share your ideas, you know, you might get some great feedback too from your network that can help you along the way, or they might have some great connections. Because again, this is about women not being scared to talk about the thing that they're doing. If a man ties his shoe, he'll shout it from the rooftops and be like, I am the best shoe tier in the entire world. A woman just sewed shoes by with her bare hands using a needle and thread, and she won't tell anybody about it. So talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That's a weird analogy.
It was. And I'm like, mm-hmm. But you know what? It's as you say that, that resonates with me as well, because I still find, maybe sometimes to this day, I have to like force myself to share about, because on the business side, right? But on the Kristen side, mm-hmm. people, I always kind of feel like, oh, they don't care about what I'm doing. Oh, they don't really understand what I do as a coach. So it doesn't really matter. And I'm like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, playing small or shrinking yourself. This is not why you put yourself out there and start a business. So I completely agree. Just talk about what you're doing. it's hard for a lot of women to be able to use your voice or to create that platform. But of course, there is a support, or the if they have a product, it's sustainable. There are companies like Salmon Labs that can take them in. But is there anything else you wanted to share? It's like, it's almost like I don't want to let you go. So is there anything else that you feel like listeners need to know about themselves as women, or what they need to know about Sam and Lance and just your mission or your vision? And then I'll let you go, I promise.
I could stay for all night if you want. I mean, just to continue with the using your voice, I think just talking about showing up, like I'll even catch myself like sometimes like, oh, I need to pop on Instagram and tell a story about, you know, something coming up or a new release or just talk. And I'm like, oh, but I didn't wash my hair today. No one cares.
Right.
And I keep having to remind myself that it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if, you know, I'm wearing my sweatpants that I spilled pasta sauce on them. You know, you can just show up and tell your story. And that also makes you relatable and makes people, you know, connect with you, with your brand, with, you know, your mission, which will come through as you're talking. So I constantly have to remind myself that. So I'm saying it here. So reminder for me, as well as all the listeners, to show up and not worry if a hair is out of place or, you know.
A stain on your shirt.
Like a stain on your shirt.
Like just this week, I'm like, oh man, I'm not changing though. Who's really going to notice, right? But we pick up ourselves apart, and it's so easy for us to do that. So it's good to have companies like yours where it's not about picking apart, it's about pulling together, coming together and uplifting and empowering each other. So thank you so much, Laura, for being here with me today. And anything that Sam and Lance has going on, coming up, you know, to find you, to follow you, please follow them. To find you, to follow you, the details will be in the show notes. And I will talk to you soon, and I'll see you online.
Well, we've come to the end of the episode, and girl, can I just say that I hope that you enjoyed listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. How inspired are you feeling right now? Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on what we have coming up, because these will just keep getting better and better. If you're a young woman ready to get out of that grind to five rut and find your shine to five purpose, connect with me on my website, kristennjames.com. Take care until next time. And as I always say, have a sparkling day.